Der Bad Bad Button oder Johnny der Nudeln. Ist wegen die Hände Pest und die Kau kann's auch vergeben. Wenn du willst, kannst du mal versögen, alter Keule auf den Tisch. Nee, da blieb bloß eins, ich sag mal Fisch. Früher haben wir Piola, doch die können uns nicht retten. Den Hüter haben wie Zweck ist und die kann's nicht essen. Wenn du willst, kannst du mal versögen, alter Keule auf den Tisch. Doch die schmeckt auf Sinn, nicht der Original hier drin ist. Ich sag mal Fisch. Na wat, nur wat Johnny der Nudeln. Chaos wie ein Schaf und Hund, die kann's auch mal vergeben. Wenn du willst, kannst du mal versögen, aber es töll mit auf dem Tisch. Und ich hatte ihm die O, ich sag mal, Fisch. Du blickst doch mal der Träumtisch, da schaut's an und den Garten. Da musst du an wegen Träumen, den kannst du baggern mit ins Bahn. Sibbeln, Tüffen, Arten, das ist den A nur auf den Tisch. Und dann gibt das auch noch Pudding. Und der wird mal frischen Fisch.
NGOs and Management. Searching for new models or reinventing the wheel. David Lewis. The past decade has witnessed a steady growth of non-governmental organizations, NGOs, at the local, national and global levels, along with an increasing interest in finding ways to make NGOs more effective. The profile of NGOs has increased among policymakers, activists and researchers in the industrialized countries of the West, in the poorer countries of the South, and in many of the former socialist countries of the East. NGOs now feature prominently in discussions of service delivery, advocacy and lobbying, social movements, philanthropy and charitable giving, building civil society and social entrepreneurship. The rich diversity of NGOs is widely celebrated within growing numbers of publications devoted to them. NGOs are now regarded by many people as organizations which can respond effectively and flexibly to social needs, help provide improved social services, and provide a voice for citizens in shaping public policies. Although there are voices challenging the claims which are made for NGOs, these have been generally restricted to criticisms of the performance of international NGOs in the context of humanitarian assistance in emergency situations. While there may be some opportunistic and/or ineffective NGOs, the feeling is that the third sector, some form, is here to stay. NGOs continue to be flavour of the month in development and social policy circles. One well-known academic publisher recently told me that they were now actively seeking ideas for new books on NGOs because they sold so well. Another senior academic in the same week could be heard complaining that his manuscript dealing with issues on public administration could not find a publisher at all because NGOs and civil society were all they were interested in. Yet, amidst all the fuss about NGOs, there has been very little attention given, at least until recently, to the management of these organisations. The debates so far have been concerned almost entirely with examining the contribution of NGOs to social welfare, development work and human rights, and on NGO abilities to innovate new approaches, meet pressing social needs, and challenge current complacency. Interest in management and organisational issues in the North started to appear in the late 1980s when the NGO Management newsletter was produced from the ICVA in Geneva, and this laid some groundwork for discussing NGO management, though it had ceased publication by the early 1990s. The International NGO Research and Training Centre, INTRAC, was established in the UK in 1991. In the US, the Institute of Development Research, IDR, in Boston, has for many years worked on organizational issues for NGOs, while in the South, among other organizations, the Society of Participatory Research in India, PRIA, has pursued NGO organizational training agendas. Despite these growing numbers of initiatives, however, we have not yet seen the evolution of a clear set of ideas or a distinctive field of NGO management. This is a surprising omission, and its reasons are quite complex. The first is that NGOs are first and foremost characterised by a culture of action, in which NGO leaders and staff are sometimes reluctant to spend too much time thinking about organisational questions because it might interfere with the primary task of getting out there and doing something. Related to this is the widespread view that NGOs should use almost all their funds for working with people in need and should not spend money on administrative overheads or waste too much time on administrative questions. A second set of problems revolves around the view that many NGOs are established by people searching for alternatives to mainstream thinking, and there is sometimes a feeling that management and administration, with its strong associations with the business and the public sectors, is something NGOs can do without. Some NGO people emphasize the expressive aspect of the organization rather than the instrumental aspect, and imply that the very fact that they are trying to do something is enough. For these people, organisational performance is not the issue. A third set of problems, and this is linked to the first one, relates to the rapid growth and change which many NGOs have experienced. Organisations which started out as small, informal structures in which management issues could be dealt with on an ad hoc, informal basis may grow in size and develop more complex, multidimensional programmes and suddenly find that they need new ideas, systems and procedures to cope. The fourth problem is that as some NGOs have grown closer to official donors, they have been required to develop new systems of accountability and their effectiveness has been questioned and challenged. This has led to the feeling that some of the impetus for the new interest in NGO management has come from outside and has taken the form of an imposed managerialism rather than being part of an NGO's own agenda. As a result of all these factors, the current state of thinking about NGO management is not perhaps as clear as it should be. Should NGOs take management more seriously, and if so, what kind of management ideas and models should they be interested in? Do NGOs pay enough attention to the basic nuts and bolts of mainstream business and public sector management theory? Or will such techniques move NGOs from being primarily value-driven and voluntarist towards as a more professionalised, formal approach to their work? There is definitely the beginnings of a demand for training. Some business schools around the world are currently waking up to the new NGO market and trying to recruit NGO staff onto courses which offer them management training, sometimes relabeling otherwise basically mainstream MBAs for the purpose? Or should NGOs turn instead to the growing field of what is termed non-profit management, a growth area particularly in the United States, where the non-profit sector, it has been argued, now requires a set of specialized models and concepts to assist these distinctive kinds of organizations to improve their management? Or should NGOs, as a diverse group of organisations, seek to develop their own distinctive management ideas and models, exploring the possibilities of other forms of management approaches and cultures outside the boundaries of existing practice and outside primarily Western templates of organisation? There are no clear answers to these questions. NGOs are a diverse group which range from the small, informal association with a few members who give their time voluntarily, to large, bureaucratized corporate entities with thousands of professional staff. In addition to these structural differences, NGOs engage in a bewildering variety of different tasks. What is the task that has to be managed? For some NGOs, the delivery of services will doubtless require a set of practices and techniques which could usefully draw upon public and private sector approaches. For NGOs involved in citizen activism and networking, perhaps less of this material will be of value and new approaches are needed. For most organisations, some basic management skills will be needed to keep accounts, make decisions and plan work. Management, too, is a difficult term for many people. Definitions of management range from those which emphasise control and authority to others which speak of enablement and participation, from the functional definition of getting the work done by the best means available to the more diffuse idea of reducing anxiety. As in any organisation, management for NGOs can be seen as having both an instrumental purpose, that is, achieving the desired results, as well as an expressive quality, a certain organisational style or culture which is both appropriate to the task at hand, as well as in keeping with the values of those involved. What is clear is that NGOs must have the basics in order to function, but that they also need to adapt ideas from other sources as well as innovate ideas of their own. Dichter provides all too familiar examples of NGOs which tried to walk before they could run, talking about fancy participatory ideas without having a system to ensure, for example, that their fleet of vehicles was properly maintained. On the other hand, the danger exists of imposing inappropriate and constraining formal management systems on NGOs can all too easily kill their spirit and their originality. Firstly, NGOs need to clarify their vision and goals. Alan Fowler's book, Striking a Balance, makes a good first stab at setting out many of the management challenges for NGOs by emphasising the need to balance a range of internal and external factors and by keeping a clear eye on what is to be managed. NGOs need to develop appropriate strategies in keeping with the tasks at hand, and these are very varied. Some will require hierarchical, bureaucratic structures, while others will work with loose, informal, decentralised structures. Secondly, NGOs need to learn how to manage themselves in an increasingly complex and rapidly changing world. Kelleher and McLaren emphasise the turbulent context in which NGOs work and use the phrase grabbing the tiger by the tail to encapsulate the challenge of taking control of organisational change. Thirdly, NGOs need to be able to manage their own formalisation and growth, either by resisting pressures to grow or by developing and changing their management practices and structures in keeping with their organisation's own development. There are many ironies to the new interest in NGO management. One is that many NGOs, as they discover management and organisation development, or are pushed into taking it seriously by outside interests, tend to make straight for the business management world, reading Peter Drucker, Charles Handy, and the management gurus of the moment, even though these ideas may have been intended for different types of organisation. However, Drucker and Charles Handy have gone on to adapt some of their ideas to the non-profit organisation world. In the British voluntary sector, there has for some time been a debate about the nature and roles of management. The weakness of many radical voluntary sector initiatives in the 1970s and 1980s was sometimes attributed to a serious misunderstanding of how management works, based on factors such as ideological rejectionism, cultural snobbery, and a short-sighted inability to see management in terms other than those of command and control. More recently, it has been argued that, after this period of neglect and disdain, in an effort to embrace the idea of management more fully, some British voluntary organisations then went on to overreact in the other direction. Quote, "What is interesting is not merely that the voluntary sector developed a self-conscious concern with management, but also that when the voluntary sector took up management, it did not look for knowledge and best practice within its own ranks, but rather turned to the private sector for its concepts and practices." End of quote from Leet. Another irony is that NGOs looking into have sometimes unwittingly incorporated a lot of older-style management ideas, such as strategic planning, now dismissed by one of its originators, Henry Mintzberg, as having failed to live up to its promise when it was developed in the 1970s, rather than heading straight for the more up-to-date ideas. A third irony is that the most up-to-date mainstream management is now concerned with the types of areas which NGOs themselves should be on top of. Flexible work teams, reduced hierarchies, building on values and cultures. In practice, many NGOs can grow unwieldy and rigid, particularly if they are experiencing rapid growth and consequent formalisation. There are two important issues on which to conclude. The first is that, as David Corton has shown in his model for four NGO generations, NGOs tend to change over time. They mature, grow, and fade. NGO management, therefore, has to be seen in terms of a process and a response to organisations as they change and mature within an increasingly complex environment. The second issue is that NGOs are essentially diverse and therefore adopt a considerable range of different approaches to their organisation, from the one-person NGO without formal structures to the large, formal, professionalised organisations. Both types may be effective in their different ways, and there are many other types in between. The current interest in NGO management is useful in that it is at least beginning to bring our sometimes unrealistic images and expectations of NGOs down to practical, manageable proportions. It may lead to a stronger focus on what NGOs can achieve and what they cannot, on improving their effectiveness, and it may enrich our wider understanding of management by bringing to light new ideas and alternative approaches, ones rooted in diverse societal values and cultures, and in genuinely responsive approaches to overcoming obstacles to positive social change. David Lewis, Centre for Civil Society, Department of Social Policy, London School of Economics. We'll be right back.
Mayday, mayday, pozicija nejasna.
Znači, gremo na pamet.
Pazi, Miško!
Jadran je po nemirnih vodah menedžmenta nevladnih organizacij lahko spremljate vsak ponedeljek in petek med 9 in 10 uro do poldne na valovih Radija Študent in preko interneta
www.radiostudent.si
v tekstovni in zvočni obliki.
Ljudstva nevladnih organizacij. Združite se na 89,3.